I want to remind you that I'll have a lesson online at 5:30 today. I plan on it if all goes well. So plan on that if possible. We, of course, been studying from the book of Titus, the Apostle Paul's letter to Titus, who was a located preacher at this time, had a congregation that he would be preaching to on a regular basis. Paul has instructed Titus to teach sound doctrine, healthy, wholesome doctrine. And this healthy teaching strengthens the family. And of course, that contrasts with false doctrine that, as he said in chapter 1, verse 11, subverts whole households. And part of this wholesome teaching was about the importance of older women and their role in the Lord's church. In other words, the good that they could accomplish by being actively involved in the Lord's work. And this is what is stressed in our text today. And just like Paul told last week, the older men, teaching is a must. Teaching is essential to any congregation being sound or healthy or wholesome. And so in Titus chapter 2, verse 1, I want to read that again as we did last week. He says, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine." So what he's going to be telling Titus, like he told him with the older men last week, he's going to tell the older women now. Older men and older women never outgrow the need for teaching themselves. Need to respect God's word, because sound teaching produces godly people. That's why sound teaching is so essential. So he first talks about the characteristics of godly older women. In other words, what are they to be like? So in verse 3 of Titus chapter 2, he says, "The older women likewise, that they be..." The first thing he mentions is reverent in behavior. The older King James says, "behavior as becometh holiness." I like how the King James phrases that. The older women are to be what? Dignified. One reference said, "suited to a sacred character." That's what the older women are to be like. Dignified. If someone knew them and were around them a lot, they would see them as someone that had a sacred character. So her conduct in every aspect of her life, regardless of what area it is to be virtuous. Just like the virtuous woman is described in the last chapter of Proverbs, there in Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31. That whole section of Proverbs ends talking about the virtuous woman. And that's certainly what Paul is talking about here when he talks about the older women, that they be reverent in behavior. Well, then he says that they're not to be slanderers. Now, this comes from the same Greek word that we get devil, because that's what Satan does. Satan slanders. He slanders. So, older women are not to be slanderers. They're not to defame other people. And they should never be known as women who defame other people, which means you must guard your tongues closely. Back in Proverbs 21, the wise man tells us this, and if you have your Bibles, please turn with me there to the 23rd verse of Proverbs 21. Here's what the 23rd verse says. "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." That's some of the wisest advice in the Bible. Guarding your mouth and tongue will keep your soul from all kinds of troubles. And of course, that's true for men and women, for everybody. Think about how much trouble comes along because people didn't guard their mouth and tongue. So, another characteristic of older women there in the congregation is not to be slanderers. Well, then he says they're not given to much wine either. In other words, they're not enslaved to it. They don't have to have alcohol in any way. And again, one of the reasons for that, and there are many, why Christians never, ever need to drink, is found in Proverbs 20 and verse 1. Of course, that's a whole lesson in and of itself, but why is it so important? Now, he's just mentioned two characteristics of godly women: reverent in behavior and not slanderers. Now, notice how not given to much wine fits in with those two characteristics. He says in Proverbs 20, verse 1, this is the wise man speaking, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is a brawler, and whoever is led astray by it is not wise." The medical world tells us that from the very first drink, it starts to affect your cognitive behavior, your cognitive thinking, your ability to think straight, if you will. So no wonder godly women are to have this self-control, because that's what alcohol can do. It can make you make bad decisions. When you make bad decisions, you can't guard your mouth and tongue, and you're not going to have a character that supports holiness. So those three characteristics kind of all fit together. Well, now he says that older women are to be very active teachers. They have a very important role in the local church for teaching. So it says these older women are to be teachers of good things, or teach what is good. Teach what is right. Teach what is orderly. Teach what is excellent. If we go back a few pages to 1 Timothy 4, notice how Paul tells Timothy this in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. He says, "If you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine." There's that same word. Good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. So teach what is right, orderly, excellent, which means you only teach what is found in God's Word. You know, as Christians, that's supposed to be our basis for making decisions. What does God say about it? And we shouldn't go beyond what He said about it. Because God's Word tells us how to have the proper attitude and right conduct. And we know from various places in the New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that the sphere of teaching for women is somewhat limited, but they still have so much good they can teach. So, what else are they to do? Titus chapter 2, verse 4. They're to admonish the young women to love their husbands. Okay? Admonish the younger women. Now, what's translated admonish here in the English has a very lengthy definition in the original Greek language. It has the idea of exhort, has the idea of guide, it has the idea of urge. So, they're to urge them to have a sound mind. And of course, training is involved here. That's part of it. So Paul is listing some of these characteristics that a younger woman should have if she has a wholesome, sound mind. So this is what the women are to teach. Love their husbands. Show affection for their husbands. Wives should not resent them in any way. The one thing they should do is show confidence in their husband's ability to be a leader in their home. Be the spiritual leader in the home. That would be one thing, one aspect of loving their husbands that would be so important to both the congregation and to the home. So older women, teach the younger women good things, and one of the good things is love their husbands. But that's not all. Love their children as well. Well, what all does that mean? And there's certainly a lot involved there. Show children how much they're wanted, how much they're appreciated. You know, the psalmist would write, and did write back in Psalms 127, kind of a classic verse. Verse 3 says of Psalms 127, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." And that's certainly how younger women should view their children, as being a heritage from the Lord, a reward from the Lord. So love your children. Show them how much they're wanted. Show them how much they're appreciated. What else? To be discreet. To be discreet. This has the idea of being self-controlled again. Having self-control in thoughts, words, actions. Well-balanced might be a synonym possibly for this word as well. Discreet. You know what to say, know what not to say. They're to be chaste, pure. Of course, that's in speech, dress, conduct. But to be above reproach, that's what he wants. That older women teach the younger women to live a life above reproach. And to be homemakers. Homemakers. This word basically means keepers of the home. In other words, they watch over the home. They superintend over the home. And taking care of the home is a major responsibility. I mean, it's a God-given responsibility. So the older women are to teach the younger women that this is critically important. Women's careers should never be put ahead of taking care of the home. Because this is part of her Christian service. This is one way, not the only way, but one way she serves God. And so the older women are to teach the younger women how important that is. Well, he goes on and says, older women teach young women to be good. Here the word has the idea of possessing attractive quality of character. Like if someone is around you, they know you're not caustic or cynical or abrasive or rude. Here, that's the idea of good here. So someone that has this attractive quality of their character. So older women teach the younger women to be good. And then he says, obedient to their own husbands. You know, Paul talked about that when he wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 5:22, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord." And of course, being submissive doesn't imply being inferior. That's the way our culture thinks, but our culture, like most things, is wrong. So, obedient to their husbands. And he says that the word of God may not be blasphemed. See, the older women are instructed to teach and train younger women. And of course, they can do that in a number of ways. They can do it by example. In other words, set the example. Show them the way by their own behavior. And it can be a wonderful role model, older women can, the younger women. By showing these very characteristics that Paul has just mentioned. By exhibiting themselves in their lives. And of course, this is a life that all women should aspire to. And then, of course, teaching them orally. Whether it's through classes at the church building or in individual homes or wherever. Now, the conduct of women can have two very different results. The first one is found in 1 Peter chapter 3. So turn with me now to 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read the first four verses. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 4. This is the positive result of the conduct of a godly woman. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. See, this is the positive influence due to the conduct of a godly woman. Those characteristics that we just read about in Titus chapter 2. It can have a very, very positive result on the husband or other people too. Younger women. So this conduct can have two very different results. A very positive one, of course, a very negative one. What Titus just mentioned there at the end of verse 5, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. See, if the older women were not living like Titus had just described, then that can cause the word of God to be blasphemed. And this means that their conduct would bring reproach on God as well as God's word. So the conduct, the example of older women can have far-reaching results, consequences, effects, both positive and negative. So Titus here is being told by Paul that older women have a very crucial role to play in the work of the Lord's church. It's very crucial, very important, very critical. Because we need older women to be God's women. So if we want to have a sound church, if any church wants to be sound, it has to be comprised of sound Christians. Otherwise, it's not a sound congregation. And that means those who follow the wholesome teaching from God's Word, just like He has been talking about. And He'll continue talking about it further in Titus chapter 2. And so what kind of example, as older men, older women, are we setting for younger people? And that's really the question of the day, taking from what older men should be like and what older women should be like in the church. So as we finish this lesson, that's what we need to take away from it. You know, are we living up to the example of older men and older women that Paul has given to Titus? Because Titus was to teach this to that congregation, that church. That's how important it is. So this morning, Doug has chosen an invitation song to help us think about our lives and whether we need to have the prayers of the congregation. So let's stand and sing this invitation song.